the glorification of the Sacred Heart. The Sacred Heart had been pierced by the lance. The last drops of blood had flowed. The body of the great victim had been taken down from the cross, embalmed with sweet spices, enclosed in the tomb belonging to Joseph of Arimathea, and secured by the seals of the high priest. At the dawn of the third day, the holy soul of our divine Lord was reunited to the mangled body and brought with it all the privileges of a glorious resurrection: brightness, agility, subtility, and impassibility. The risen Jesus will sit at the right hand of his Father. But how shall his Sacred Heart be glorified? The glorification of my heart consisted in this, that God the Father gave me all power in heaven and on earth. By this gift I became all-powerful in my humanity as well as in my divinity. I could reward, honor, and elevate my friends, and prove my love for them with perfect freedom. The glorification of my eyes and ears gave me the power to penetrate fully into all the needs and sorrows of my faithful ones, and to hear and grant their desires and prayers. My entire body received the power as a privilege of this glory, to be everywhere present in my humanity, as I am in my divinity with all and each of my friends. Wherever I wish, a privilege that no other, however powerful, either has obtained or could obtain. In this way, the glorification of the Sacred Heart is a power at the service of its friends, and it sees all their needs wherever they are. The glorification of the Sacred Heart is again the work of love. But what were the special joys of this adorable heart when it began to beat in the Holy Sepulchre? Our Lord deigned to make them known to his humble spouse, and giving her a foretaste of them even here below. On Easter Sunday evening, Jesus appeared to Matilda and said to her, "This evening I come to serve you all. At your meal I would serve 5 different dishes. The first is the joy of my divinity received on this day from my humanity, and my humanity from my divinity. The second, the joy I felt when in the place of all the bitterness that love poured on me during my passion, it is now spread an immeasurable happiness and the fullness of its joy through all my members. The third joy I felt in offering to my Father the most precious gift in a transport of delight, I mean my soul and all the souls I had just redeemed. The fourth, the joy I experienced when my Father gave me the power to honor, enrich, and reward the friends whom I had redeemed with so much pain and at so great a cost. The fifth, the joy I felt in seeing my Father associate with me and the everlasting glory of my throne, those whom I had redeemed, making them co-heirs with me and guests at my table. Other kings, after having dined with their friends, leave them once the repast is over, but my friends will remain with me eternally. To every one who shall remind me of these joys, for the first, provided he desires it before death, I will give him a foretaste of my divinity. For the second, I will give him the gift of knowledge. For the third, I will offer his soul to my Father at the hour of his death. For the fourth, I will share with him my labors and the fruit of all my sufferings. And for the fifth, I will associate him in the happiness of the saints." It will be instructive to compare this revelation made to St. Matilda in the 13th century with a page written in the 19th by a learned and pious bishop on the mysteries of the heart of Jesus. Today, while giving himself to God his Father and to his Church, Jesus takes possession of his kingdom. He is established king over Sion, his holy mountain, and his reign is the reign of the light of truth, which he spreads through the whole world, and by which he subdues it. From his heart, whence it originated and where it is retained, the divine light spreads, glorifying his body, and with it his Church. And so, for Jesus himself, he must reign. He made himself servant to his Father. He delivered to him the kingdom he had conquered, and the Father established him king. He had served souls in redeeming them, and he gave himself to them, and they gave themselves to him, acknowledging him as their only chief. Truth is his kingdom, and truth is his love, which sanctifies the world and becomes forever its law. And such today is the part played by the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It grows and spreads in itself, but it also grows in the church to which it communicates its life, its holiness, and its glory. Ah, what zeal fills the heart of Jesus! What charity consumes it! And yet it is always in peace and accomplishes with a calm joy the sublime devotedness of his life. Hitherto, his heart only saw in God an irritated judge. Now it finds in him a Father, full of kindness. He saw humanity far from God, covered by its sins, buried in death. Now it rises with him from the tomb. He clothes himself with our human nature as with a mantle of glory, and ordered to appear a holy and eternal high priest before his Father. His heart feels the life which abounds. He allows it to overflow and spread abroad. This divine heart expands. He lives, who was dead. He triumphs, who was vanquished. He superabounds with joy, who was plunged in sadness, weariness, and fear. Oh, Jesus, what happy moments! Oh, night, what mysteries! Happy angels who behold all this, when he renewed the living interchange of graces between heaven and earth, when the soul, violently separated from the body by death, was happily reunited to it by a secret dispensation, after it had received the much-desired baptism of death. Holy angels who witness all this, I unite myself to your adoration, to your love. I adore and love with you. O heart, how pure and how holy thou art at this time! May I dare to fix my gaze on thee? I, alas, who languish and die in my sins! The heart of Jesus, always holy, always united to God, always rejoicing in the vision of his face, received now an increase of beatitude after which he had long sighed. But, independently of what he felt himself, of what he enjoyed as the personal reward for his merits, he felt then all the happiness which is experienced by the hearts of the elect when they first came into contact with the divine essence in the light of glory. He saw, in that instance, what the saints see and shall be seen by him, and he concentrated in one very pure and perfect act of love what the saints shall forever possess as the development and expression of the mysteries of his life. Then, truly arose in his heart what God had for his saints, glory and joy, ecstasies and the delights abounding in the hearts of angels, patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and the just of all times. Jesus possessed all these concentrated in all their fullness of his heart. O blessedness of heart! Never was any heart more worthy of possessing it. Jesus, Lord and God of heaven and earth, we praise thee, we bless thee, we give thee thanks for having revealed thy glory, for having clothed thyself with thy divine attributes, and for having at length ascended that throne which thou hast seemed to have abandoned. When Jesus shall appear to me in the glory of his resurrection, I shall be like him. I shall see him as he is, and my heart shall then be in his heart, inundated with his joys, which shall be mine.